When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, Ariel was different. When I met the guy, very humble, very hungry, you know, and I knew that he was going to succeed. I mean, have you guys seen that I signed anybody in the past 3 years? I mean, I'll show you text messages from Peso Pluma. My dream is to be with Dell Records. Echame la mano, viejo. Gavito reached out. Iván Cornejo reached out. I didn't want to sign nobody, you know. I was going through a health issue. I think 2024 is going to be a big comeback for Dell. One in particular, Gerardo, I mean, the guy was a monster. I don't see him anywhere. He's not selling out shows. I mean, God bless him, you know? We used to pack arenas. What they're doing now, we did that almost 9 years ago. I kind of saw the way they did business, and I didn't want to do that. I did it my way, based on my knowledge, my experience in business, my experience in the streets. So Tercer Elemento, he's the pioneer of today's movement. We have the biggest song in the existence of the platforms, you know? Oh, that was done, you know, fucking, well, there it is. You know, a little slap in the face. Gerardo would have never signed Adele because he was already in the talks with another label, right? What would have happened? What would have happened if this other artist would have never came?
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another Agusto Papá podcast. If you guys are new to this channel, make sure you guys like, comment, and subscribe. Today, we are in the offices of Dell Records with a very special guest, a very important guest. Very. Today, we present the CEO of Dell Records, Ángel Del Villar.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite. Welcome to your house.
No, thank you for the space. You know, every time we come, you know, you guys treat us good when there's parties or whatever with the merch. Like, we really appreciate it. And also, we really appreciate that you haven't done an interview in such a long time. I think it's been like 7 years?
I think the last interview that I did was, I think,
five. The one that I found was like, I think Margarito, right?
Oh yeah, that was recently. That was recently. Prior to that, like maybe 5-6 years.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we really appreciate you giving us the time. I know that you said you don't really do these type of things.
No.
So we definitely don't take it for granted. We thank you and hopefully we get to talk about a lot of things. I know you probably want to say a few things as well.
Hey, you know what? I'm ready. I'm an open book. You know, one thing I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be quite honest. You know, I don't fake the funk. You know, I tell it like it is. And, you know, this is the story behind the story, you know?
That's awesome, bro. I mean, we want to go kind of like in a little timeline. We want to take it from the start, you know, where are you from? Where are your roots?
So I was born in Mexico. I was born in Zacatecas, Mexico. Came here when I was 9. You know, like any other immigrant, you know, with a dream, I guess, you know, and, you know, living in L.A., it wasn't easy, right? So, you know, this whole journey with the record label started, you know, a little more in the future of my journey, you know. When I was 17, I already had a kid. When I was 19, I had 2 kids. I've been independent, working for myself since I was 19 years old. So it's just that, you know, it's been a beautiful journey.
And how was the life growing up?
In LA, it was tough in the 90s, man. A lot of people that are going to see this podcast, they're going to, you know, growing up in LA in the 90s, you know, the whole Parral, the cruising, Farallon, like all that stuff. It was very tense, you know.
That's awesome.
Nothing compared to right now.
So much different.
Yeah, of course.
Was there like any struggles that you faced that you remember when you were
young? I think there's a lot of struggles. I think, you know, it's part of being successful, you know, it's part of a business, you know. I believe that's what really makes you, you know. When you fail, you know, it kind of shows you and makes you a stronger, wiser person, you know. So there's been you know, a couple of things between failure and success, you know. It's part of the journey.
Yeah, and a major question that I have is, how do you get into the music business? How do you start your record label, which is...
For the love of music.
For the love of music, did you want to become an artist first? How did that go?
Right, so it's a trip of how the universe works. You know, before I came and sat down here with you guys, I had a meeting with the guy. His name is Uva from Grupo Escolta, right? Mm-hmm. He was the first artist that I signed on the label. it was just a vision that I had. You know, I used to see how much it would cost to produce an album back in the days, and it was 55 cents. So I used to see all these artists selling 1 million albums, 2 million albums, and, you know, I'm a number guy. I saw the difference between, okay, well, they're selling them for $11 at the swap meets, and it costs you 55 cents. So that kind of, it caught my attention, you know. But I started with Uva, Grupo Escolta, Banda Ángeles Sinaloenses, and then it just took off right after that.
And what made you want to, like, start the record label? Was it your idea
or someone else's? It was 100% my idea, you know, and my, I'm a very, you know, at the time I used to party a lot. So I used to hire, like, all these groups. And one time this guy's from Banda Ángeles Sinaloenses told me to help him produce an album, you know? So that kind of caught my attention. I says, fuck, I'm paying you. At the time, it was like $800 an hour, you know, so many hours. And it only cost $4,000 to produce an album. And once again, I'm a numbers guy. So I said, man, there's something behind this whole business venture, you know? So.
And when you first started signing groups, was it already like digital or?
No. Like, I'm gonna make this very clear. I don't feel like we started a label. We started a movement. You know, I came in when, you know, physical CDs were like literally almost at their, like, at
their last breath.
Yeah, 100%. Right. So, it's a beautiful story. You know, wait for the book. There's a lot to tell behind how the company started, but I'll give you guys a little bit of the taste. But it was just having a vision, having kids. I come from construction, you know, I still own a pretty big construction company, and it's just that, you know, it's part of the culture at the end of the day.
And in starting your record label, what were some of the struggles that you faced? Because, I mean, I think starting from a business and building it up is probably like the hardest thing, you know, funding it, you know, keeping it flowing.
Right. I think honestly, it was just fun. Literally, I never saw the whole investment behind it. To me, it's like I'm getting paid to have fun till today. You know, I get paid to have fun. If I go to a venue, if I have an event, I come in through the back. You know, there's alcohol. You know, there's always women. You know, the women want to be with the guy, with the singer or whatever. Con el bueno, como digo yo, right? So to me, it's more like it's a hobby that became a very successful story.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty amazing that you were able to turn your hobby into, like, what is your lifestyle now. And you were saying, you didn't start a movement. You're making a legacy as you go.
Yeah, 100%. You know, to me, I always tell this, and I'm going to tell you right now. A lot of people think that the artists are bigger than the label, and I'm going to correct people. I believe that the label is bigger than the artists, with all the respect. You know, I've seen a lot of talent that was here at Dell. And they were like, no, well, ya valió verga label, because such artists left. I think we're stronger than ever today. This is the biggest year of the company in the past almost 16 years.
Wow.
You know, so it's just, you got to believe in yourself. You got to believe in your team. We have an amazing infrastructure. We have a solid foundation. And believe me, we're hungry, you know.
Yeah.
We're still hungry. We haven't lost it, you know.
I'm talking about, like, so much that Dell has accomplished. What were your goals, or what was your vision? Because, you know, like you're saying, like, the numbers made sense for you to get into this business.
Right.
What goals did you have for, or did you like, see yourself anywhere?
Yeah, honestly, I think that I've accomplished everything that I kind of first saw myself when I started in the company. The last decade, I don't think there was nothing bigger than that. We were the ones that started this whole movement. You know, at the end of the day, I'm very satisfied. I'm happy and content with everything that we established. You know, we've been part of so many different movements, you know, from, you know, Gerardo being one of the pioneers, you know, you got Regulo. There was nobody that used to cater to kids. We got Luis Coronel, and then Ariel came, and then, you know, rest in peace. And then, you know, we created Los Plebes del Rancho. That happened. We brought Ulises, and then you got Tercer Elemento, and then now it's La Buena Armada, and so on and so on and so on, you know. The story continues. You got a guy Lenin, you got Los Del Limit, you know, there's just so much stuff that we've been part of, you know.
And who was the first group that you signed where, like, it took Dell Records to the next level?
Gerardo was, yeah.
And that was before Ariel?
You had 100%, yeah, 100%.
Damn, now the question I always wanted to ask, like, how did you discover Ariel?
So it's an amazing story, and I always get credit is earned. We were at Gerardo's house, and he used to own a studio, right? and one of his brothers, William, and some other guy that used to have a salsa. They're like, hey, have you heard of, have you seen this guy? And it was Ariel with the video El Toro Encartado. And I'm like, I haven't heard of him. So as soon as he played it, I'm like, this guy is it. And then he's like, well, I know them. I know the guy who's managing him in Mexico. He says, get me in contact with the guy. Call him up, flew him here in a week. And I think after like 2 weeks after that, we had already signed him to Dell.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was huge for us. Huge, you know.
I think what was special about Ariel is he sang with so much passion, and let alone the effect that he had on all the músicos that are hitting right now.
Yeah.
You know,
the big impact. Yeah.
You know what? I've seen even on you guys' podcast, another podcast, where they ask a lot of artists, right? Who inspire you, Ariel Camacho?
Yeah.
Who inspire you, Ariel Camacho? So, you know, to me, Ariel Camacho, he left a big legacy. You know, he left very young. He's probably one of the probably only artists that I've seen that sings with a lot of what is the word that I'm looking for? He sings with a lot of like passion. You can feel you can feel it. He used to transmit. When he used to say a corrido, dude, the guy was like he's like the guy who you're talking about in the corrido, right? And the valleys, you know, from Temetistas and so many. I mean, it's The guy's always gonna be a legend, you know. He left a pretty big legacy for the genre.
Yeah, yeah. In hindsight, you know, he made so much. But when you first saw that video, you probably saw the passion. Anything else that caught your eye that you said, "This is the guy"?
It was just something different. It's like when I saw Gerardo. You know, you see this little kid recording little videos in his car with the little spiky hair, and he was just different. You know, I'm a big believer that, you know, there's a word that I always use. You know, I normally speak more in Spanish, so you know, I'm trying to live for the word, you know.
Oh yeah, well, if you're more comfortable speaking Spanish.
No, we can speak both. You know, it's just this word that I'm trying to look for.
Entendemos poquito.
Sí, no, it's just this word, you know.
Poquito. Emphasis.
I remember the word, but he was just different. You know, Ariel was different. When I met the guy, very humble, very hungry. You know, and I knew that he was gonna succeed. You know,
since you got to like spend a lot of time with him, how was he as a person? Was he like? Serious?
The last time I seen him here, right? The last time I seen him, and it was a Sunday, right? A lot of people speak about certain individuals. Oh, no, he was a nice guy because obviously they passed, right? I told him in person. I don't know if you guys ever seen my Instagram, but I kept a picture on my main pictures where we were like hugging each other and we were listening to Los Nuevos Rebeldes down here in the hall, right? The most humblest individual that I ever met. He lived in this facility for 6 months. So we used to interact every single day. Very respectful kid, very talented. And the most important thing to me, he was very humble. I don't see that no more. You see social media, I think social media nowadays is about how much money people got, how many sales people are doing, their shoes, their houses, their cars. I mean, to me, all that is just, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm old school. You know,
people want to respect you, debating on how much you could offer them or how much value, which is like what you said, is currency or the status itself, you know.
100%. And honestly, I'm not going to tell you that I'm against it, but I don't support it. You know what I mean? Everybody's doing whatever they're doing, and I'm happy for everybody. At the end of the day, I think we're adding to the genre to make the genre a lot bigger, you know. You know, when I used to go to Premios Juventud, back in the days with Gerardo, they used to put two girls dancing and fucking two cactus because we were minority. You know, they always have seen this genre as minority, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not a region no more. We're global.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, literally, I feel that we were part of that as well until today. I mean, we have the biggest song in the systems of the platforms, you know, with Ella de las Olas.
Yeah, so definitely just passed a billion.
100%, which is, you know, shout-outs to Pedro, Peso, and everybody behind the project. You know, I always tell people, there's a lot of people in this industry that they want to get the credit for themselves, but they don't understand that it takes a great team behind a project. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you guys depend on the guy who set up the cameras and the guy who edits the videos, and it's a team behind a project, you know.
Yeah. And do you think Ariel Camacho ever got to his prime?
I've seen Ariel Camacho, one of his last concerts, the biggest concerts I've seen. There's a beautiful story. Ariel Camacho, en Las Pulgas, en Tijuana, By 11 o'clock, he had already shut doors. I think the capacity there is like 5,000. Mm-hmm. By 10 o'clock, there was no more alcohol, right? Oh, shit. Like, till today, he holds a record in TJ, mm-hmm. right? And many other venues, but I don't think he ever got to see, like his peak in the career. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just finishing El Karma, yeah. and Te Metiste was going to be the next single. And, I mean, what happened, as you guys already know.
It's very unfortunate, you know.
Yeah, very talented, very young. Humble, full of life. I mean, the guy was amazing, you know. Like I said, I have so many amazing memories with the guy.
Yeah, you know? It's crazy how you said too that he lived like literally here.
Yeah, he did.
You know, like, you know, we actually like love all this music stuff. Like, we know we talk about it just for fun.
Right.
And the other day we were at the house and, you know, we're talking about like Ariel and, you know, like what made him so special and stuff. And I think literally the next day, right, we went to we filmed with Regulo. Claro. Yeah, we got a chance to like talk with him, and it's crazy, like the, I don't know, like the before and after, you know?
Yeah. Raul recorded, I think, one track with them. Raul is another amazing artist, you know, very talented, very, very talented.
And you have signed, like, multiple artists. What is something that you use to, I guess, distinguish talent, you know? I think all these artists, they want to be signed by Dell Records. How do you distinguish, like, this is my guy, or, like, this is the next biggest group?
It's, I'm gonna tell you a thing, you know. I believe that every company has its own ways of recognizing talent. To me, it's like we have a formula, and a formula works. You know, we've been here 15, 16 years. You know, I have a saying, you know, it's not about making it, it's about maintaining, right? Mm-hmm. So for us, I mean, it takes a lot. To me, the most important thing, they have to have charisma, they have to be humble, they gotta know what they want, because a lot of people have talent, but they don't have that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's a lot of arrogant talent out there, you know? And you can't. I don't want to work with them. I mean, have you guys seen that I signed anybody in the past 3 years? Just recently. I mean, I'll show you text messages from Peso Pluma. My dream is to be with Dell Records. Echame la mano, viejo. That was 2022 in July. You know, Gavito reached out. Iván Cornejo reached out. I didn't want to sign nobody. You know, I was going through a health issue. And I didn't want to sign any artists. Yeah. Till now, I mean, I think 2024 is going to be a big comeback for Dell. Yeah.
Big comeback.
Yeah. And I noticed you guys are very, like, selective with the artists.
100%.
You know, compared to, like, other record labels. What would you say are some of, like, the pros and cons of being very selective?
You know, I've seen the other record labels. I don't want to even mention them. But, you know, I've seen that there's a little movement. And they want to sign everybody that just fucking like almost plays like him, mm-hmm. you know, and just sign 50, 100 artists just to make sure a ver cual va a pegar, you know. It's not about that, bro. It's about giving them, you know, making them a priority. You know what I mean? You see their talent, and like literally, why should I sign 10 artists just to have them all while we sign it to the label? No, like yeah. Literally, there's a lot of work we got to do. Them as an artist, us as a label, and it's like a marriage. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you guys got to do your part, I got to do my part, and that's how we have been successful and establish a lot of talent at Dell, you know?
Yeah, I think sometimes a lot of the work that the record label does is like behind doors, or not very
100%.
Not the most public part of the job. And I saw in an interview that you said when everything's good, it's the artist. When everything's bad, it's the record label.
Bro, I'm always gonna preach about that. That's what I'm telling you. You know, a lot of artists think that they're bigger than the label. You know, I've seen. Let's just talk about the major labels, right? Mm-hmm. You think Universal's gonna go anywhere? You think Sony's gonna go anywhere? How many artists have they signed to those labels and they're no longer there, or nobody's hearing their music?
Yeah. And I think it's safe to say that artists have their moment, you know? And
100%.
I think it's very special that when these artists, or there's a cultural movement, but like you said, like the one that stays is a label.
100%, you know, you know, I'm a very grateful individual that, you know, I have had the opportunity to work with a lot of talented guys, right? But we're still here, and I don't see them anywhere. I don't see those guys anywhere. I mean, you know, let's talk about one in particular, Gerardo. I mean, the guy was a monster. I don't see him anywhere. He's not selling out shows. I mean, God bless him, you know? So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, most definitely. Not that the records has, like, definitely made an insane impact and...
We're the pioneers, you know. A lot of people I hear, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, we started this, we did that. We've been here 15 years. If you guys do your homework, like literally, you know, a lot of people got, I think we inspire a lot of people, you know, a lot of independent labels, A lot of now new artists that have their own particular labels. You know, I've seen a lot of that. But you know what? To me, it's a blessing. You know, the genre grows. Yeah. Honestly, I give props to everybody because we're all part of a big genre right now. But you know, we all have different formulas and how we do business. You know, they're successful their way. I'm successful my way. And I'm very content, you know.
Would you say that the records paved the way for a lot of these artists, record labels?
A lot of artists, a lot of record labels, a lot of managers, a lot of them, you know. You got to give credit is earned, you know. I mean, if a lot of people don't see it like that, it doesn't bother me at all. Yeah. You know, I tell people, after 15 years, we don't have to prove nothing to nobody. I think we've done it all. You know, there was a big tour that we started. I don't remember the year, but the biggest tours in regional music, they were done by Dell. Those Mundos Una Historia, where we used to pack arenas, what they're doing now, we did that almost 9 years ago. You know what I mean? So to me, it's like, of course we did. Damn. You know, there's a lot to be said behind that, but I'm going to leave it for the book. You know, the book is going to be very interesting. The book is going to come out very soon as well.
Yeah, and I think it's safe to say that Dell Record has always provided support system for the artists, you know, 100%. Always trying to give them the top, you know, promotion to get to the highest level.
100%. And honestly, before it was more of a challenge. Now it's much easier because of social media, right?
Yeah.
But there's still, you know, different ways of promoting a song or an album. You know, nowadays, I mean, a lot of people are doing singles. Nobody really cares about a whole album. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just, you know, there's changes and you have to go with those waves, you know?
How does Dell Records take in those changes when obviously social media wasn't a big thing back then compared to now where it's more organic, you know, people are on TikTok, stuff is blowing up. What are the major differences that you see in promoting an artist?
Okay, check this out. How old are you?
I'm 24.
Okay, so when I started Dell, everybody was Angel Dell Records, Pepe Dell Records, Joe Dell Records, like everybody, and everybody just wanted to be Dell Records. People will fight for a hat like this, a jacket. Like literally, I think even with social media, we were the ones that pretty much created and paved the way as well. Obviously, a lot of things have changed, but I don't see too much of a difference, to be real honest with you. You know, people are consuming music. It's just the way that people consume the music more than anything, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. You guys talk about like paving the way in a lot of different
in a lot aspects. Of different ways. I mean, if you guys do your own homework, I mean, we started the whole thing with the Dell models, the merch. We started, you know, the whole flyers, the whole, I could create a whole list, you know, and to me what I feel a lot of people did, which, and I'm happy, you know, a lot of people just copy and paste. To me, that's a big satisfaction, you know?
Yeah.
It's a big satisfaction, you know? I honestly, like I said, we're part of a big movement, and I feel that, you know, that was part of the movement since fucking 14 years ago. Yeah, you know?
Something that we've talked about, because we've been here a few times for meetings and stuff like that, and we talk about like how professional like everything was, and I think that's something that like stood out to us.
Thank you.
I feel like, you know, being in the game 15 years like help gives you guys time to like develop so much stuff, and you know, and saying that like pioneers in a lot of stuff. Is there like anything in particular that comes to mind that if someone had to tell you like name something that you're like really proud of that Dell did?
Honestly, like I said, you know, I just feel very proud, and I look, I'm the type of individual that I give credit to the people that were behind me. You know, like I got inspired by people, other labels. You know, there's so many other record labels before me. What I did, I kind of saw the way they did business, and I didn't want to do that. I did it my way, based on my knowledge, my experience in business, my experience in the streets. So that kind of like literally helped me to create a different business model, you know, and it worked for a lot of us. I mean, I could get you into details. You know, nobody, I'm going to give you an example, right? Back in the days, I mean, I'll name you, you know, a couple of artists that own their masters. Nobody owns their masters. The labels do, right? That was one of them. When you used to, you know, for entertainment, when you do all these big shows, right? The big promoters back in the days, they're like, well, you know what? I'll buy you the talent, or you know what? We're going to do door, but these are the percentages. I pretty much restructure that whole business for the whole genre. You know, I give myself that credit. You know, so there's so many things. You know, we could be here 100 hours and we won't finish, but saving a lot for the book.
Damn. Yeah, it's crazy. So such an accomplished person, like business model. And
thank you.
Yeah.
And when you name, you know, like literally, you guys been here a couple of times. Mm-hmm. You know, we have an amazing team. You know, I tell people, you know, treat people the way you want to be treated. You know, like literally, the atmosphere here, it's totally different from going to another record label. You know, and no disrespect to anybody, but you gotta treat people with respect, you know? So,
and then dealing with, like, you know, you had the record label for such a long time. I'm pretty sure a lot of artists or, like, promoters, like, they, you know, they try to fuck you over. Like, how would you deal with that?
You know what? Honestly, the angel back in the days, bro, it's a different angel today. Before I was very aggressive, you know, like, you know, I grew up differently, you know? Nowadays, I don't really care about nobody. I'm in my own zone. I have a lot of peace. You know, I have nothing to prove, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm in a different frequency, I tell people.
Yeah. You said back then, you know, you were more aggressive. Now you said you have a lot of peace, you've changed. Is it because, like, you feel like you don't have anything else to prove? Or
was there, like, no, you know what? Change? I honestly, you know, you guys are young right now. Once you hit a certain age, I believe you mature. And your reaction to certain things, right, they don't affect you as much. You know, you have to be strong mentally, you know. Like, literally, I'm a better version of me today. I don't regret nothing that happened before, but I wish I could have just, fuck, I should have never said that. Mm-hmm. Fuck, I should have never did that, you know? It is what it is. It's part of life, you know, so.
It's you versus you, you know, your own competitions, yourself.
100%, you know, if I go back and talk to that kid, fuck, I'm very proud of that kid. You know, he had a vision, you know, he created an empire, you know? My kids are gonna live out of that. You know, I want to leave a legacy. To me, it's not how much money I have, is not what I own, because I'm not gonna take it, but I guarantee you my kids' kids are gonna benefit from my work. So
yeah, generation wealth.
Yeah, that must. I feel like that's something that, like, well, we all aspire to. I know you did it so young.
Yeah, and nobody, you know, I tell people they don't teach you this in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Definitely.
Right.
I don't want everybody having an empire.
100%. 100%.
And then you say leaving a legacy is very important to you, because that's like what we're gonna take. If you had to describe that legacy, well, how do you say
it? You know what? You know, I just been an individual that I work out. You know, I work super hard on my life, and I was always an individual that I never give a fuck about nothing. You know, I created something so people could be entertained. You know, like, I always tell the story, you know, what would have happened if Gerardo would have never signed that deal, because he was already in the talks with another label, right? What would have happened? What would have happened if this other artist would have never came here, right? So to me, it's just like, life is written, you know? To me, I came here on a mission. I'm very happy where I'm at. I'm happy where I'm going. I've been a visionary since I was a kid. And, you know, the most important thing for me at the end of the day is for people to be like, fuck, that guy created that. This person was part of this project. Like, if you really think about it, most of the artists that I named you guys, they all done. They play a big impact in the industry, right? So to me, that's pretty much. At the end of the day, it gives me a lot of peace and satisfaction.
Yeah, most definitely. I feel like you could, like, see that peace, you know, like.
Oh yeah.
You know, thinking up something in your head, and then, you know, like, through hard work and being a visionary, you have all this.
Yeah, and you know what? Tangible. Honestly, you know, one day, once you guys read that book, and you know, when the book comes out, you'll be surprised. You know, I mean, you guys are hearing 1% of my life. You know, that's, I'm just giving you guys 1% of my life, 44 years this year, and I feel very happy with what I've done, what I've created. I'm not afraid of dying. I've done a lot. You know, I've done a lot. I've created a lot, and I feel I have a lot of peace, because if anything were to happen to me, my kids are gonna, they're gonna enjoy their father's hard work. You know, so.
All right, guys, we are back from the break, and I wanted to ask, because the question got cut off, but right. What made you want to, you know, make a book, and when do you plan on releasing it?
So I think we all have a story to tell. Mm-hmm. The book, if everything goes as planned, is going to come out 2024 in July somewhere. And it's going to be a book, you know, where a lot of people have said, angel this, angel that, right? I'm a type of individual that I go based on facts. You're never going to see me on social media. I think I've probably done it once, and that was a lot younger, right? If I'm going to say something, I'm going to back it up with evidence, you know. So mm-hmm. that's the book's gonna be something like that.
So a book is like a way of you know, telling your story, cleaning your name, everything.
You know, I don't have to clean anything. I just believe that at the end of the day, I don't have to no tengo que quedar bien con nadie. You know, no le va a rendir cuentas a ningún ser humano. You know, the things that I believe in, you know, one day le vas a rendir cuentas a Dios, no?
Yeah.
So simplemente es, you know, my kids, you know, that they understand that, you know, their father was not this, it was that.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing, you know?
And why do you think people would like to talk on the internet a lot?
Because they need attention. I mean, think about it. I mean, for how long have you guys followed me on social media?
Long time.
How many years?
Damn, at least. Yeah, well, a lot of years.
Give me an idea. Give me a number.
I mean, like five.
Okay, in 5 years, have you seen anything out of context? Angel fucking showing off for this or because of me or that, or I own this or I own that or this or that. That's not who I am. A lot of people do that for attention. Yo les llamo ricos pobres porque a lo mejor si tienen dinero, pero they're empty inside, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm fulfilled, you know. So I'm just a different breed, you know. So
yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Damn, well, to get a little bit back like into the music, you know, unfortunately Ariel Camacho passes. You have Los Plebes del Rancho, Ulises Chavez. Fast forward a little, Tercer Elemento comes out.
Right.
And you know, how'd you find Tercer Elemento?
So Tercer Elemento was till today, you know, I believe he's he's a pioneer of today's movement. You know, I heard it through Andrew. Andrew showed me the track Rafa Caro, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, it's a banger. By that time, Chonchis, a good friend of mine, had already signed them, and they were working with another label, right? Called him up. I said, bro, let's do something with the project. He says, well, I'm with this label, but if you want to do something, let me talk to them. Talked to them about the project, brought it in. We took that project from 0 to 100. That was with Rafa Caro. And then we did Arolina Carrillo right after it.
Yeah.
Not 100%. Chris is a very talented kid. You know, he's a very talented kid. I admire that kid. He's been through a lot. You know, the kid's very talented. He's coming out this year again with a badass album. You know, so yeah. Wait for it.
Yeah, I think we're planning to have him on the podcast as well too.
Okay.
So it's gonna be pretty badass. And how would you say Tercer Elemento paved the way for like the movement of today?
100% confirmed. You know, I'll check that little square. You know, he did. Think about it. Just do the calculations. You know, they're I think 2019, that's when they came out with Rafa Caro, if I'm not mistaken. Then right after that, 2018, you know. I don't wanna miss the years. But I mean, it's what, 2024 almost? So
yeah. You know, yeah, Rafa Caro. I think it was a little bit earlier, no? We were still in high school.
No, it was 2018.
Yeah,
and I think one of the first things that I noticed about Chris's voice is that it's so different.
100%.
And I think a lot of people, they didn't like it. I think it was either a voice, if you either really liked it or you didn't like it.
Right.
But what I noticed from, you know, him starting that movement is, I think it gave other people a chance.
100%.
Because you didn't 100%. Have to be like, you didn't have to have the greatest voice. You just had to have like
be unique,
like, yeah, like be unique, like super different, unique voice. And I think I
always tell him, I don't know if you guys ever met him, that kid's 101. The way he thinks and everything, he's very talented. I was a big fan. I'm still a big fan of his music, right? It's just, you know, when the whole group separated, you know, there was a lot of changes. But like I said, you know, he's gonna drop a pretty big album. Just wait for it. You know, I'm very happy I heard the album. I'm fucking like super excited.
Yeah. And I think when he did that song with Burner.
Oh, yeah, like, El Chivo.
Yeah, that song was crazy.
I think that's where everything changed.
Yeah. El Chivo. So, like, I think the regional Mexican music was getting into other genres. Yeah,
100%.
And then I feel like it started to, like,
I think that song is one of the songs, you know, that pretty much started the movement of today. And shout out to Burner, too. So, you know.
Yeah.
Abraham Vasquez, he wrote that song, too. And it was a lot of magic that day in the studio. I remember I was there through the whole process.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And then you said you were there in the studio that day. Do you think it was gonna make like that impact that it did when you heard it?
For sure, 100%, 100%. Like I said, you know, you can just feel it. I'm a type of individual. I'm about energy, bro. I know you're nervous as fuck. I can just feel your energy. I have, you know, felt everybody's energy here in the room. And since I was a kid, you know, I have that gift, you know, and that's why I stay away from a lot of people. You guys never seen me in fucking award shows or all that. That drains my energy, you know. So I knew it was going to be a hit when I was there, you know.
I was going to ask about that, like that. I don't really see you, like, at award shows or, like, you know, out much. Is it because of that, what you said?
That's the main reason, you know. If you guys go back, like I says, in the past 16 years that I've been in business, I've probably been to maybe 4 or 5 max in all these years. You know, I'm just, I think different, I act different, I see life in a different perspective, and no disrespect to nobody, but that's just that's me, you know? And that fulfills me, you know? I like to conserve my energy and utilize it for things that fulfill me or my kids or my family, you know, so.
What do you think about música mexicana being like mainstream, in a sense? It's very fresh. You're being mainstream.
I feel fucking proud of everybody that's part of it, you know, but we are a big part of the beginning of that.
Yeah,
we paved the way, you know.
And you guys signed Eslabón Armado, which, you know, Pedro was the one that composed the number one song that hit a billion, which is the first regional Mexican music to do that, which is insane.
A billion streams. You know what, honestly, been working with him 4 years now, 4 years. One thing I admire about Pedro, he's one-on-one as well, the way he writes, a very humble kid, talented. When I asked him, you know, how you came up with that song, he says, you know what, I think God wrote it, you know, boom, 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 15 minutes, I wrote that song, look what it did. So it's like, you gotta be connected with yourself, and I'm a big believer of the universe, you know. So I think that song was meant to be. It was part of the journey. It was already written before it was out. So I feel very proud to be part of it, you know.
Yeah, I think
for us as a label, that's huge, bro. No, for and me. That's for a lot of people, you know. I hear comments and, oh, that was done, you know, fucking, bro. There it is, you know, a little slap in the face, you know.
No, definitely. Well, that's another first. No matter what happens after,
we were the first ones to reach 10 million on YouTube.
Yeah.
This year, there's a lot of things that happened in this year. I believe in numerology. It was a 7, and everything that I knew was gonna happen, it happened. Next year is an 8, and I know exactly what's gonna happen. And I feel I'm at peace. You know, we're gonna do a lot of big things next year. Yeah. You guys will see. Yeah.
And going back to Eslabón a little bit, like, right. How has it been? You said you've been working with them 4 years.
It's
how has it been? How do you describe those 4 years?
You know what? Honestly, I would tell you, you know, it's been an amazing journey. You know, teaching them the business, they don't understand the business, guiding them, supporting them. I feel that, you know, sometimes I feel like we're at a stage where, you know, a lot of artists, I think a lot of artists dream to be independent at some point, right? And I feel like we played a big role in their success. And if tomorrow that's where they want to go, I'm going to feel super happy and honored that I was part of the project. Since, you know, this is a crazy story, and I always tell the story, I didn't look for them, they looked for me. You know, I didn't look for Gerardo. Gerardo pretty much looked for me. I didn't look, you know, for a lot of artists. So it's part of the journey, man.
You know? Yeah, I think when people like see that you provide so much value, that's the person that's gonna 100%. Be able to help me or.
Yeah, it's like I was telling you, because you asked me, you know, I said this in the past. When everything's good and then fucking everything's amazing, it's because of the artist, right? They feel like the company doesn't do nothing for them, right? And when everything's bad, it's because of the company. You know, if a lot of artists would take in consideration, you know, like literally here, we got 30 people behind your project. You know, I mean, you think fucking your project just went viral just because of you? There's a team behind it. You know, there's a team behind every successful story. You know what I mean? You got to credit is earned. Simple as that.
And you mentioned that a lot of artists, you know, they came to you, like, to work with you.
Right.
Has there ever been an artist that came to you and, like, in a way you told them no and you kind of regretted it?
Yeah. And I'll tell you a story, bro. He's going to remember this one. when that whole wheat fucking like took off, mm-hmm. me and Ramoncito, I know Ramoncito for so many years, you know, from Legado Siete, and he brought me this little album, right? What was the name on, what was the name? El Afro? Oh, like yeah. all those hits mm-hmm. were in yeah, that album, Coco right? Reels, and I was like, bro, I don't think this is gonna hit. It was a slap in the face for me, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Gotta fucking give it to him, you know? I think that was probably it. I mean, I told you, you know, I mean, you could ask him. Iván Cornejo reached out. Gavito reached out. Peso Pluma himself reached out to me. And literally, you know, I was just in a different stage of my life. You know, I was dealing with some health issues. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to put all my time and energy on my health, you know, so. But I'm glad what they've done, you know. I'm glad what Legado did. You know, after Tercer Elemento, I mean, they're a big factor in the whole wheat movement, you know. You got to give it to them. You have to give it to them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, credit's due where it's due, you know.
100%. 100%, you know. I mean, think about it. Ramon was the one that discovered fucking Fuerza Regida, bro. Oh, yeah. Him, himself. They haven't given that credit. You know what I mean? Other people get that credit. That's crazy, bro, but I believe in good karma and I believe in bad karma,
yeah. Yeah. You said that you're a numbers person. What does the number 27 mean? Because so, you brand it.
I'll tell you super fast, you know, like literally, you know, a billion people have asked me, but it has to do with my birthday. Oh. My birthday, 7/20/1980. Add them together. 7, the 2, the 1, the 9, and the 8.
Adam, Jason.
It's 27.
Get some water.
Yeah. You add the 2 and the 7 is 9. 9 is the biggest number in numerology. You know, so like I said, we all had a purpose and a mission before we were born, you know. So that's my understanding of life.
Yeah. That's good. Even like the last name he was saying like, damn, that's a badass last name, like Del Villar, and you put like Del Records.
Yeah.
So then you could put Del, like Del Entertainment, you know.
100%. Everything has to do with my last name, and my father, rest in peace, was very I named everything after him mm-hmm. because he was very proud of his name, which I am as well. And I named everything after my last name, you know, so. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you said, like, the 27, like, the whole brand, I think it's around you, you know, and the label.
Yeah, and I promote it a lot, bro. Like, literally, bro, I kid you not.
I feel like you really embody it.
No disrespect to all these little kids, bro. But I see all these fucking guys just fucking, you know, promoting, you know, fucking, they put all these videos that they're at this, buying this brand. Bro, you're making them, I mean, bro, I don't worry none of that shit. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna promote my shit. I'm gonna promote my brand, you know, today, tomorrow, and forever. Bro.
Forever.
Yeah, that's just me, you know.
I feel like that takes a level of like maturity, right? To
100%.
Because I think
you saw me. I'm wearing sweats. I'm wearing sandals. You guys didn't see me with no brand stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't need it, you know. You know, I don't, bro. People think that because you're wearing brand, you know, you're gonna look successful. I know a lot of people that wear a lot of stuff that, you know, with all these big brands, and they got no money, bro. Mm-hmm. You know, so I believe you got to be yourself, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, and so you embody the brand, you know, like it's your lifestyle. How do you describe your, like your involvement with Del Records, like on a day-to-day basis?
Like, not as much anymore, but I take the major decisions on the company. I mean, you guys met Andrew. Mm-hmm. Andrew plays a big role in the company. But till today, I'm the one that brings in the talent, you know? I think fucking since day one, 95% of all the talent, I was the one that brought him to the company.
You brought him.
Yeah.
And how is that, like, how's that process? Do most of them come to you? Like, have you reached out to anybody?
Both. Right now, recently, you know, I have reached out to a couple of them. You know, Tony from Sucesión. That kid, bro, just be on the lookout, bro. That kid's gonna blow up. You know, I saw him, and I'm a big fan of a song. That kind of, I identify myself with that song. And when I found that he wrote it, mm-hmm. I reached out to him on Instagram, and I told him my respects. I never told him, hey, you want to sign with the company? None of that, right? And the next day, I found out he was signed with a label in Mexico, Don Julio, which is, you know, he's a, my business partner in the project. Reached out, now, you know, he's part of the company already, and you're going to see exactly what we're going to do with that project.
Is the song about you?
That song is gonna fucking blow up, bro, with him, you know? But he has a lot of other songs, you know, a lot of other songs. And then, you know, we signed about 3-4 kids in the past 2 weeks.
Okay, yeah. You say that, like, Devolution, And then also the I saw that you said like you need to be part of that evolution of the game. Like who have you signed? Can you tell us about who you've signed or?
There's another kid, Emmanuel from Seattle. I think that kid's gonna fucking kill it. That kid is very talented, bro. I'm pretty sure you know who I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, who else did we sign? You know, there's about 2-3 surprises that are coming that you guys will definitely get to see. But I think it's time for Dell to break the next big artist, you know? I think in the past 4 years, it was Eslabón, and we mainly focus on Eslabón. You know, now we got to break another 1, 2, 3 artists, you know? That's the gold for the brand.
If you said that you wanted, like, a global artist.
We wanted a global artist. I'm part of so many stuff. It's just, you know, 2019, I had already quit from this whole movement. You know, I went to Miami, and I met a lot of people in the whole reggaeton, right? One of them is a good friend of mine, Rafi Pina, which, you know, send him a shout out. But I was able to kind of see and understand their business, right? They're more of a global movement, you know, at that time. And long story short, bro, you know, I was part of his whole company. That's all I could tell you. The whole company, you know, within 3 months.
Yeah, and then now that you mentioned reggaeton, back then we would talk about how back then, like, reggaetoneros, like,
Ozuna.
Yeah, like, they would all get together, whether it was, like, one song for reggaetoneros, like, without a problem. And then a problem that we saw in the Música Mexicana is that it was so hard. Well, we wouldn't really see an artist from this label collab with an artist from this label. Like, why do you think it was hard for, you know, labels to get together and to
jealousy, agree? Fucking, I think the one that kind of broke that barrier was Grupo Firme. You gotta give it to them, you know? They were like, I don't care if your jaw blow, if you're signed to this little record label, if you have so many streams, or, you know what, I wanna work with everybody. So I think that's a big key of their success. But, you know, getting to the labels, I just feel like it was, you know what, I don't like that label, they don't like me, and I'm not gonna do business with you, or a lot of that crap, you know?
Yeah, most definitely.
Or we're bigger than you, and, you know, my numbers are big, bro.
Yeah, because we would always talk. I think one big moment was when we would say, like, Eslabón and Junior H making a song. That was, like, a whole topic for us.
I remember, you know, at first, yes, no, yes. The kids agreed to do it. Then the label said no. And then I said yes. And, you know, the whole thing, you know, it just got to the point that we did the song, you know? And it was, I think, honestly, they should be more of that, you know? Like, if we unite more, I believe that we would have had a... We could still, I mean, there's a lot of room to grow in the business still, you know? So.
Yeah, most definitely. I think part of the, like, the success, in my opinion, part of, like, the success was being able to do, like, those collaborations.
Yeah, 100%.
I feel like it wasn't that big back then, right? Like, it mostly was just like, oh, like, what song is he doing? And just expecting, you know, these two record labels, like,
they got... I mean, think about it. If I go back, big songs with collabs, it was among the same company, you know? You got Fantasma doing Los Cuates, Cabrón y Vago, you know? That was a big hit. You got Recordando Manuel, you know? Lenin and Gerardo. Carolina Carrillo and so on, but it was never this company with that company. It was just among the company.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what pushed you guys to like...
I think the fans did. I think it happened very organically, you know? The fan wanted to see this artist with this artist, you know? So you gotta give people what they want. They're consuming, they're paying.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
The consumers.
100%. It's like two worlds colliding. You know, this style and this style. Let's like mezclarlo.
So back in the days, I started a tour called, like I mentioned, Dos Mundos Una Historia. When I brought in Gerardo and Recodo, it was two different audiences, right? It was a very successful tour. I brought in the older generation, the new generation, all together, and we did a lot of arenas, a lot of fucking arenas, you know. And like I says, you know, I think we got to give people what they want.
Yeah, most definitely.
100%. 100%.
That's a aspect that changed, like, for the better.
Yeah.
You say there's still a lot more to go. What would you like to change in, like, in this space?
I wouldn't change anything. I'm just back. You know, I'm back. I'm gonna I'm gonna start signing artists. I'm gonna, you know, we have a formula, and obviously it has worked in 15 years. We're back, and we're gonna go develop the next couple of artists. You know,
How do you feel being back from? You said you took this break. How do you feel?
You know what? I feel good. You know, it just, my whole situation has to do with, you know, temperature and so on and so on. But I fucking feel brand new. You know, I feel super, super brand new. You know, so
yeah.
Watch out, man. Believe me.
Yeah, how do you stay like with that drive after so many years and so many accomplishments?
Hungry, man. The people that really know me, which I'm not trying to impress nobody, I haven't changed. I'm the same person, bro. I don't care about a lot of stuff. You know, I know what I want, I know what I need, and I know what fulfills me, and I know what makes me happy, you know? And I know what I need to do to provide for my kids.
What's your next goal?
Probably my next goal right now, and personally or business wise,
both if we can.
Both, yeah. Oh,
man. I just want to keep growing in the spiritual dimension that I'm in. You know, on a business aspect, just like I said, I don't have to prove nothing to anybody. You know, I just keep proving it to me, to my team, and we just want to develop another big global artist. You know, that's a big goal for us next year.
Almost definitely, I think.
Yeah.
I guess already had a global song.
100%. We had a global song. Now let's get the global artists, you know? I mean, you got to give it to the guys who paved the way there as well. Peso did an amazing job. You got to give it to the guy. And, you know, they're open already, you know? Who's next? I always tell people, who's next?
And out of all these years that you've been running your label, what are some big challenges that you've faced and that have molded you to, you know, just keep going to the next level?
You know what? In this industry, it's pretty tough to trust people. You know, I believe that I'm still the type of individual that, you know, if we agree on something, and I give it to Lenny. You know, Lenny's a perfect example. Me and Lenny were I believe 3 years without a contract. But, you know, fuck it. You know, let me show you. You show me, and then after that, if you're happy, I'm happy. We'll sign the contract. A couple of days ago, he just resigned again, another 3 years. You know, so. You know, that's one thing. You can't really trust people nowadays, you know? I mean, you know, some artists are like fucking, I call them like prostitutes or like fucking hoes, you know? They'll come and tell them, hey, how much is he charging you? I'll charge you a little less. Just come with me. And then by saving the 5%, 10%, they fuck up the whole infrastructure and everything that certainly, and I'm talking about in general, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'll go with the next label just because somebody offered them 5% or 10% cheaper, you know? So.
Yeah. Is that pretty common that like they'll be like telling
in our industry? Yeah, sadly, you know, but it is what it is. That's why, you know, I tell my team that my vision is like, I don't want to sign artists on the longevity, you know, short term longevity. If, you know, they break in the first 2 years, we got two more years to kind of recoup our investment. People think that. You know, us as labels, we just sit down and the song goes viral. No, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of investment. There's a lot of time behind a project, you know? So it happens. Yeah. It's very common, you know? So
most definitely. So let's say you get a song on the label end. What do you guys do for it to set up for success?
There's a formula, like I told you, you know? There's a formula. It's like going to Coca-Cola. Can you tell me how do you make this?
I get you. Yeah.
How many fucking spoons of sugar? But there's obviously a marketing team, a strategy behind it. And, you know, it's sometimes we get with the artist and we come up with a plan. And not every song has been successful, let's be quite honest. You know, but at the end of the day, I'm a big believer that we're all here because of the fans. I mean, they're honestly the ones who are consuming the music. They're going to the concerts. They're doing now the downloads. They're buying their shirt, the hat. So, I mean, we wouldn't be here without the fans and God, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that's, to me, that's the most important thing.
Yeah. But, like, I think it goes back to saying what you said, like being humble and.
You have to be humble, bro.
And accepting all the, well, like some of the failures as well, huh?
100%. You know, I mean, you guys met Andrew. I mean,
yeah.
Give me for example, like I tell people, if you guys look at Andrew, me as a father, there's so many words, you know. I'm impressed. I'm happy. I'm satisfied that he's a very intelligent, humble kid. Another kid, and you know, with his availability or his position, he could be fucking like
go crazy,
hijo de papi, and fucking, you know, money and fucking, you know, exotic cars. And the kid's very humble, bro. You know, he comes from a humble beginnings, and I have encouraged him to be humble. You know, he'll come in the room and he'll fucking shake everybody's hand, and I always tell him to look at him in the eyes and give people the respect, you know, that you want to get as an individual, you know.
Yeah, Andrew's a super cool friend of ours too. Yeah, I know. Got his drunk ones.
That fucking loves to have fun.
Like, yeah, have a definitely. Cup shot. Oh, man.
Take a little break.
Very humble kid. Very humble kid. Yeah. Very humble kid. Yeah.
And I wanted to ask, has anyone offered you like a lot of money to sell Dell records?
100%.
And have you thought about it?
Yes and no. Yes, because at some point I says, fuck, you know what? I'll never finish that money. And then I says, if I sell it, kind of retire, and Eslabon brought me back. I always tell the story, because I wasn't motivated anymore, right? Something always brings me back to this, right? And I feel that we haven't done what we need to do as a company. We need a global artist. I think once I do that and I accomplish that, probably, you know, I will consider it.
Damn.
I will consider it, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, it's not how much money you make, it's how much money you keep, how much your piece is worth. You know what I mean? I don't want to be one day fucking found behind my desk and you die out of a heart attack, because it accumulates. There's a lot of stress behind running a label, dealing with artists, and it's just tough. People think it's easy. It's not easy.
And do you think an artist, well, I mean, there's a lot of artists who are like anti-label, you know, they don't want to sign, they want to stay independent. Do you think it's possible for an artist to stay independent and like go global? Well, like in our space,
I haven't seen one yet in 16 years. There's a lot of artists that think that they could do it on their own. It's not easy, and it doesn't take money, I guarantee you. But you know, there's a big surprise. We started I'm part of it. Andrew started a company. It's called Distro 7. So now we're going to have the option. You as an artist, you're going to have an option either to sign with the label or get a distro deal.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of artists, and I've encouraged a lot of artists, bro, own your masters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Own your masters. But there's a lot of changes. There's a lot of changes next year. And I believe, you know, that's going to change a lot of people's perspective. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And whose idea was it to start that distro? Because I think it's pretty interesting, because like you guys are a label and you guys distribute your own music through you guys' own company.
100%. You know, 2019, we cut a deal directly with Google. You know, we manage our own assets on YouTube. And we wanted to be directly with the rest of the DSPs, you know, Apple, Spotify. You know, so out of something bad, something good came.
Yeah.
You know, when I was, you know, fucking at home, you know, dealing with my health, that came up. Sat down with the board, gave them the idea. We ran with it. As of today, you know, we own a distribution. The first big catalog, and you guys can search it, that we have on that distro is Tamarindo Records, all the stuff from Karim León. So it's a privilege that we started with that major catalog, you know?
Yeah, off to a big start.
100%. 100%. So to us, it's a big satisfaction, and then more to come.
All right. Well, I think it's been an honor to sit here with you, have the time. You could tell we're a little nervous, but because I think it shows like how like special this time for us has been. And is there anything else that you want to say to everybody watching?
You know, the only thing that I've encouraged people, I mean, you guys, I don't know if you guys see it or not. Every Monday I sit here and I try to send a positive message to a lot of people, and a lot of people hit me up. You know what? That message kind of it made my day, or it kind of inspired me. I've seen that I inspire a lot of kids, a lot of youth, a lot of older people, a lot of women, a lot of men. So to me, just follow your dreams. You know, follow your heart. You know, I'm a big believer that, you know, if I'm in a room, you know how what it, you know, however people make me feel, like I follow that. Your gut feeling. You know, you got to follow your gut feeling. You know. And, you know, tomorrow's not promised, you know. Live today. Today's the day, you know. Yesterday's the past. Tomorrow's the future. Just nothing's promised for tomorrow, you know.
And what could people expect from Dell Records next year?
I think a big comeback.
A big comeback?
Big comeback, you know. We didn't sign anybody in 3 years. And I feel like we're ready. We're ready to come back. Super ready to come back.
Yeah, well, I can just say, you know, thank you for your time. for letting us interview you, because, you know, there's not much.
You know what? Honestly, I've when Andrew told me, I says, let me think about it, and he'll tell you. And then I says, fuck it, let's do it. Why not? And then, you know, today I'm fucking sick, and I'm here, you know? So thank you guys for the invitation. Thank you guys for coming here. This is you guys' house, I think.
Appreciate
you.
I've
told you guys many times, and, you know, a big shout out to all your fans. Subscribe on the YouTube channel.
And shout out to Andrew too,
guys. You know, Andrew, you know, he's the man, you know. He's done a phenomenal job, you know, running the business.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, so many accomplishments. You know, we would have needed a few days to talk about like absolutely everything.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Believe me, trust me. You know, there's. Yeah. But the book is coming out. The book is coming out.
To set the record straight.
Yeah, yeah. The book is coming out. I think we all have a story to tell. Mm-hmm. You know, my story. The purpose was to, like I says, you know, I was born in Mexico. You know, I came here as an immigrant. Mm-hmm. If I did it, anybody could do it. You know, have to believe. You have to believe in yourself. I'm 43 years old. I'm still hungry. You know, I'm still want to succeed. I still want to develop more talent. And why not? You know, it's part of my journey. You know, we got to keep going.
I think you're an inspiration to a lot of us. And
thank you.
You know, I wouldn't you know, and I think for like us here too. No, like everything you've accomplished and like the hunger that you keep, you know, being so accomplished.
Yeah, no, thank you. You know, even when I started my podcast, you know, I was like, you know what? There's nobody doing podcasts. You know, if you guys think about it and search it, I was probably one of the first ones that started a podcast.
Oh,
it's so important, you know, to sit down and for people to know the person behind, because a lot of people think, oh, well, Angel's this person or that person. Yeah. Like, literally, you gotta... I'm about energy, you know? Like, yeah. I don't fake it, you know?
And what could we expect from your podcast next year?
You know, I'm gonna come back with the podcast. It's gonna be me and a good friend. And I'm excited. I'm fucking excited for that podcast. They're gonna... You know, my whole thing now is just... I'm gonna talk about reality. The truth. Mm-hmm. You know? I'm open, you know, I'm going to be open, you know, to questions that people want to know about Angel, the label, this or that, or, you know, I think it's very important to interact with the fans. It's not about what he said and not what I'm telling you. There's a big difference, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so to me, it's like, get to know me, you know?
Yeah.
You know, if a lot of people says, you know what, Angel's this and this and that, you know what, I'm not that person, just get to know me. And then once you get to know me, then, you know, whatever your decision, you know, you make, I'm okay with it too.
Yeah,
you know, so wait for that podcast. It's gonna be interesting. I'm gonna definitely invite you guys. Like, we're gonna be on the other side of,
you know, some shit to say.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Gosh, but he's like, oh, do we?
Yeah, but you guys done an amazing job. I'm very I'm very blessed to know to see how much you guys grown as well. Keep up the good work. I mean, you guys cater a lot to the youth, to me as well. I haven't seen all the podcasts, but the ones that I've seen, I'm like, man, you guys are fucking amazing.
Thank you, appreciate it. Keep it up.
Yeah, and I hope your YouTube channel hits to 10 million as well, no fucking time. You know, it's a good satisfaction.
So we get to the party and invite you guys.
Fucking, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. I'm there. I'm there with the fucking. I'm there with the champagne, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, yeah. When we saw like the whole 10 million thing, like that's an inspiration. Like,
thank you. You know, once again, we were the first ones. To me, that was a big accomplishment. Yeah. You know, and you know, I always say this. You know, Tamarindo, he was, you know, he uploaded the first video on that channel. So I give it to him as well.
Wow, crazy.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, thank you guys for watching to the end. Wait on the book. Wait on what Del Records got coming next year.
And new artists.
New artists, of course.
A lot of new artists, a lot of new talent, a lot of surprises, and you know, just
you better watch out.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, people ask me, who's your competition? You're looking at my own competition. I don't compete with nobody. I'm in my own lane, and I'm happy where I'm at. You know,
it's crazy, guys. All right, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And peace out.
Peace out, guys. Thanks for watching.